Luke chapter 4 tonight. I know I preached some pointed messages in the last couple of weeks, and I'm not here to rock anybody's boat. That's not my intention, but it's to be a help. And so if you're offended, I'm not going to apologize for preaching the Word of God, but if you're offended, I would just ask you to, you know, search your heart and find out why. And don't go around trying to find out who agrees with you or who doesn't agree with me or that. Just come talk. If there's an issue, just come talk to me. I'm an easy guy to talk to, and I'm on your side. Really, I am. I'm on your side. And I love the church, love the people that's here. Wouldn't trade anybody for the world and wouldn't want you to go anywhere else. And that's not my plan either, to go anywhere else. But just want God to use our church. Anyway, just trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to the Lord and preach what He'd have me to preach. And sometimes that is a little pointed. But I've been in church a long time, and I've had some things pointed right down my alley as well. And my row has been hoed, and my clock has been cleaned, and my ears have been boxed. Anyway, in the Bible, they used to call names. I'm not done that yet. But anyway, last Sunday I was preaching on groomed for deceit or for deception. And again, that was another pointed message. And some folks may not agree with everything that I've said. That's fine. You don't have to. And that doesn't offend me. I don't go home and take a poll every night. And I'm not going to do that. And I'm just going to stay plowing where God has me plow. And so we talked about being groomed for deception. And I gave you about 4 or 5 points how to overcome that or be prepared for that. I said, number one, study the Bible. Number two, submit to the Bible. Number three, separate to God's Word. And I said, number four, stand for the faith. And as I preached that, I left that. I wasn't unhappy with the way things went last week, but I just didn't feel settled about it. And the Holy Spirit of God pricked my heart, and He said, "You forgot me. You forgot me." And the Holy Spirit is our helper. And sometimes we don't put enough emphasis on the Holy Spirit's what He does in our life to help us. And so we can do a lot of things. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. And so I wanted tonight to preach on the believer's helper. As we go through this life together and serve God together, we have a helper that helps us. And we can't do anything on our own at all. And so when we face different hardships, whether it be trials or temptations, we have a helper that lives within us. And then I want to preach on that helper. And I might take a few Sunday nights to do that. But anyway, I don't ever want to give man more credit than the Lord. And sometimes we have this idea, well, I can do it. You can't do it without the Lord's help. And so let's look at Luke. We're going to be reading verse number 1. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse number 1 with me. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. He was led by the Spirit now watch this, a big-ass spirit here, starting with the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones that they be made bread." Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to whom keep thee." You notice that he is tempting the Lord the same way he tempted Adam and Eve. Alright, He's using the same style of temptation. And the Lord knows to fall for his deceit is actually to forfeit his sovereignty. So he's fighting. He's using as an example. He's God. But he's using the scripture to overcome. It says, "In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answered unto him, "It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the spirit of the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went on a fame of him through all the region round about. and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And so I want to use that tonight as a starting point, and go from there. Father, thank you tonight for your word and for the special music tonight. We appreciate that. Lord, I just pray now that you bless now the teaching and the preaching of your word this evening. Father, may be honored and glorified what's said and done. Be a help to us, Father, I ask your name. Amen. You may be seated. And so we oftentimes, as a preacher, we look at a situation or a problem, and we present the problem, present the temptation or the challenge, then we always try to give the remedy. I'd never want to preach without giving a remedy to the problem. It doesn't make any sense to tell people what their sin is or what their problem is from the scripture, then not give a remedy. And so oftentimes in the preaching, looking for a remedy. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we give a lot of remedies that we can do in our own strength or own efforts. And the Lord convicted me of that last week as we left here. You know, as we live in this great day and age of deception, and many people are being deceived by false religion and false teachers, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit as believers as well. And so I don't want to ever make light of that or take away from the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to bring that tonight to you. We find here, as I was thinking about this, Lord brought to my mind this particular incident with Jesus Christ. And after he was baptized, of course, he begins his earthly ministry at the age of about 30 years old. And the Bible reminds us now in Luke chapter 4, we find here, I marked in my Bible these different phrases, but we find that he began his ministry full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ himself was full of the Holy Ghost. And he also was led by the Holy Ghost. Not just was he full of it, but he was led of the Holy Spirit as well. And he defeated defeated temptation by being led of the Spirit and the Word of God. We find verses 8 and 12, when Satan tempts him, he replies, "It is written." Now we find that these are some great temptations. These are not just little things that the Lord said, that's no problem with. He's tempted by his flesh. The Lord had the flesh just like we did, without sin. And so he hungered. He was 40 days without eating. He was hungry. And he could have easily turned the stone into bread. But he refuses to be tempted of the devil and give the devil the victory. So he quotes the scripture. The devil, now he's the god of this world, the Bible tells us. And the devil says, "Listen, Lord, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms here and the glory thereof. That's been a point of mine to give." And, of course, there's a great temptation. Think about that. The Lord was going to be given these kingdoms, and they would worship him. And it seemed like on the paper, that looks wonderful then, that man will receive me and believe me. But in doing so, the Lord becomes a sinner. So the devil always presents this great lie that makes it look like we're going to benefit. And then when he gets us to commit, then we find out the deception, the trap of sin. But the Lord overcame that by, again, being led of the Spirit and quoting the scripture. And so regardless of what the devil does, regardless of what he comes to the believer with, we have to remember, what does the Bible say? Even though it may on the outward look good or may look tempting, what does the Bible say? But also we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ engaged, verse 14, he returns now to Galilee and he goes to Nazareth and he engages in the ministry in the power of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was his helper as well. Verse number 18, we find that Jesus Christ preached because the Spirit of God had anointed him to preach the gospel from the book of Isaiah. And he preaches the gospel anointed with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is critical to the life and ministry of Christ Jesus. How much more to the life of the believer? If he uses the Holy Spirit of God, and he shows us how important it is in his own life, that the Spirit of God led him and ministered to him and helped him, then how much more important it is to our life as well. Go with me. We're going to look at several scriptures tonight, but I want you to look first with me at Romans chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 13. Romans 8:26, we read about the Spirit. And good indication is when you read the Bible, if it's a big S, referring to the Holy Spirit then. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And here we see tonight that the Holy Spirit is man's helper. You know, he helps us in our infirmities. It says even when we don't know what to pray for, he prays for us. He intercedes for us. And so he's our helper. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read in verse number 5 and 6 some great verses. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's God's promise to man. Verse number 6 says, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. And so man has a helper tonight. I want you to see that from Scripture, that we have a helper. That even though we cannot see Christ Jesus, and he's left and gone to heaven to prepare, according to Scripture, to prepare for us a place and to be our mediator and our intercessor, he has, and I'll show this in a minute, he has not left us alone. And without him, we can do nothing. And so man requires, as we see that in Christ's life, he engaged in his life. He engaged in temptation. He engaged in serving God. He engaged in the ministry. All that he did, he engaged with the help of the Spirit of God in his life. And if he used the Holy Spirit of God in his life and made it plain to us by the Scripture that he did, how much more than we as people that are sinners by nature and by choice, how much more than we need a helper? And so tonight we cannot disclude or make light of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. I think we must make much of him in our life and rely upon him constantly in our life. And so oftentimes in our churches tonight, if we're not careful, we want to take and ignore that we have an adversary, but also know that we have a helper, an ally, the Holy Spirit of God. If we can't see it, we don't want to believe it, you know, and we're quick and sometimes we're slow. And grasping spiritual truths and the spiritual battles that we are in as Christians. But there is a spiritual battle that we face every day. And we have a helper, though we cannot see him. He is our helper and he is the Holy Spirit of God. And so let's look at John chapter 14 this evening. And let me just spend a few moments to you tonight. This teaching, more of a teaching type tonight, on the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Lord leads us, we'll look at it more in detail. In the next couple of weeks as well. So let's look at tonight the believer in the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, we read in verse number 16, here's point number one, the prayer of Jesus Christ. The prayer of Jesus Christ. In John 14, 16, the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So here we find the prayer of Christ Jesus. As he was preparing, John 14 is the whole that's taking place there. Jesus Christ is preparing his disciples for his departure. And so he's telling them that I'm going to leave. I'm leaving this world. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be buried and resurrected, but I'm going to ascend to heaven and prepare for you a place. And he promised them that where he would go, that he would come back and receive them, that where he was, there we may be also. So he says, let not be troubled. And so he's preparing them for his departure. And he says this, my prayer is that when I leave here, that the Father would send you another comforter that would abide with you forever. So he prays to the Father that God would give the Christian another comforter. The word comfort means to administer comfort. It means the comforter means to strengthen and support the mind in distress or danger. So he is our comforter. He's our strength. He strengthens us and supports us as we go through life. The comforter, his prayer was that he would abide with us forever. So he fulfills that promise of, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee with the Holy Spirit of God. Now the Holy Spirit is not just an invisible influence. He's a real person. He's a real person. He is as much God as God is God. And he's a person that lives in our life and that dwells within the believer. So we find that Jesus Christ, his prayer is that God will give us a comforter, the Holy Spirit. So when we find the prayer, then number two, I see the promise of Christ, Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So here he promised that he would not leave us comfortless. Verse 26 says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we find that he's promised that he would come, not leave his comfort us, that he would come. He, now listen, he said, he goes, I will come unto you. He himself will come. In what form or what the Holy Ghost. And so we find that, that Jesus says, I am the comfort. I'm going to come to you in the form of the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to come to you. They're of one mind. They're one. They're, and he said, Peter, I don't understand that. Well, I always understand the Trinity either, but I believe it's real. Amen. That God and the Father, that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are all one. And we find that the Holy Spirit now, He's a real person. He's an invisible, and He is holy. The Holy Ghost is God and the Spirit. And when I have the Holy Ghost as my comforter, I have God as my comforter. When I have the Holy Ghost as my comforter, I have Jesus Christ as my comforter. And so He comes. He's a promise of Jesus Christ. He promised the believer that He would send us a comforter. Now, number three is this. Notice with me the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 says this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The unsaved man does not have the Holy Spirit of God, nor can he see the Holy Spirit of God apart from being born again. It's impossible for the unsaved individual to have the Holy Spirit of God in their life. Now, the only thing the Holy Spirit of God can do in their life is, according to Scripture, is convict them of their sin and draw them to salvation. As far as being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the unsaved man cannot receive Him apart from being saved. So where is the Holy Spirit of at? Where is the Holy Spirit? According to Scripture, the Holy Spirit is with us and in us. And the believer receives the Holy Spirit at salvation. I want you to understand that tonight. The believer receives the Holy Spirit of God at salvation. Look at some Scripture with me tonight. I'll show you this from the Scripture. First of all, the new birth, being saved, requires the work of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, let's look back, hold your place in John there, in 14, and come back to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we come to the point of Nicodemus asking Jesus Christ how to inherit eternal life. And of course, Christ said a man must be born again. This threw Nicodemus for a loop. And he said, what can a man when he's old? Return to his mother's womb and be born again. So look, watch what Christ says in verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's referring to our first birth. When you're born of the flesh, you're flesh. Well, in the spirit of you, the spiritual part of you is dead. And so then verse number 6 goes on saying, that which is born of the Spirit, which is the big S, see that there? Is Spirit. And so it's a work of the Holy Spirit that the man is born again. It's his work that he does to regenerate man into a new creature, to give them a new birth. And so the Holy Spirit of God is present at salvation when we receive Christ. In John chapter 16, we read in verse number 7, some truth of this as well. John 16:7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comfort will not come unto you. The Holy Spirit of God had a job to do. And so Christ said to us, and we've all got a function to perform, and I must go away so the Holy Spirit of God, so the comfort can come and do what He's been ordained to do. It says in verse number 7, the comfort will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit of God has a job to do. He said, listen, when I leave here, I'm going to send you the comfort, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and He's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not me. Where does conviction come from? Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, when you sit in the pew and hear the preacher preach the Word of God, and all of a sudden something begins to burn in your heart, and begins to move the conscience, and to move the inward man, that's the Spirit of God, convicting and drawing you to Him. And so He does that. He does that to an unconverted soul. He convicts them and tries to draw them and woo them to Christ through conviction, reproving them, making their sin exceedingly sinful, and the grace of God exceedingly graceful. And so He draws men to Him. He reproves them because of sin, because they believe Him not. Of righteousness. And so He convicts and He works in the Christian's life as well, the believer's life. Because oftentimes, even as a saved person, the Spirit of God is still what? Convicting, encouraging, ministering to us. So as you read your Bible, or as you pray, or as you hit the preacher preach, and sometimes that same feeling comes back, that same experience where the spark begins to be moved, and you begin to feel convicted. Now, if you're not careful, that make you mad. So it's like you think the preacher's gunning toward you. He's got your name written down in his notes. But the Spirit, and sometimes people ask me, preacher, have you been looking in our house? Have you been watching in our house? Do you have our phones tapped? But the Holy Spirit of God does. He knows what you need. And it's amazing. Listen, it's amazing. I've watched people, and I was in the ministry 20 some years, and I preached messages that had nothing to do with a person's sin. But they have fidgeted it and squirmed through the message because the Spirit of God, though he didn't mention their sin, the Spirit of God is nailing that thing home. Why? He's drawing them to God. And so we find that he is required for salvation. He's there at the new birth. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 to emphasize that as well. Titus chapter number 3. Titus 3, 5, watch this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Talking about how we got saved. Not by works. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Watch it now, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is required for salvation. He renews. He quickens our spirit. And so he's there at salvation. Now, to be saved then, to be in Christ is to be in the Spirit. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? When did you get the Holy Spirit? Where does he live? I believe the Scripture teaches that you got the Holy Spirit of God when you got saved. Look back at Romans chapter 1. Or excuse me, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And also grab with me 1 Corinthians 3 while you're turning. Might as well get both those script places. All right, Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 1 with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when you got born again, according to the Scripture tonight, I'm making some shortcuts here, but when you got born again tonight, where did you get placed, according to Scripture? You got placed what? In Christ. And God says when you got put in Christ, Jesus, you got saved, there is now therefore no condemnation. That means that you are eternally secure. You can't lose your salvation. There, you no longer, before salvation, an unsaved person, he lives in condemnation. He is condemned already, according to the Scripture. He lives under the wrath of God daily. And so when you get born again, get saved by receiving Christ as your Savior, not a thing of works, but a thing of faith. Receive it by faith. You trust in Christ by faith. And he saves you, and he places us in Christ. He says, now, if you get placed in Christ, there's no longer no condemnation. Now look at verse number 5. It says this, for they that are after the flesh do not do the mind the things of the flesh, but they after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is to be death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why you got to be born again, a new creature. Because this old creature cannot be subject to the things of God. This flesh does not like God, does not like the things of God. And that's why that's why we're waiting for our final adoption to wit, the Bible says. So that way not only do we have a new spiritual man, but we have a new body. This body is corrupt and cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ said, no flesh and blood enter into heaven. Why? Because you'll mess it up. I'll mess it up. And so John said, listen, I'm waiting for the day when I see him and behold him face to face. He said, now I'll be like him. I'll have my new body. And so the flesh cannot please God. Verse number 8 says this, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The unsaved man, no matter what he does, cannot please God. Think about that. The unsaved man, no matter what they do, no matter how great, God says, I'm not happy. I'm still not pleased with you. It requires you being placed in Christ for God to be pleased. To be placed and have the Spirit of God. Now, verse number 9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now watch. Now if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, there are some that believe that when a person gets saved, they get born again, they get the Spirit later on down the road. You gotta pray for it and pray through or whatever. Pray for the Spirit of God to come and anoint them or to be in them. But the Bible says here that if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. If you don't have Christ, you're not even saved then. So if I'm seeing this rightly, to have Christ is to have the Spirit, and have the Spirit is to have Christ. What does that happen? It happens at salvation. So when you got born again, and received Christ as your Savior, it didn't require for me to spend some time praying through or to beg God to give me the Holy Spirit of God. When I got born again and got saved and got placed in Christ, I received the Holy Spirit of God at the same time. Because I'm in Christ and I'm in the Spirit then. I'm a new creature. Now, the question is, again, we'll look at this later on down the road here. The question is, do I have the Holy Spirit of God? Because according to Scripture, I do. The question is, does He have you? Does He have you? Are you full of the Holy Spirit of God tonight? Or are you full of yourself? So the point being tonight is that so when you got saved, you got a helper, the comforter. He came to you. He was required for salvation. Without Him, you could not get saved. When you got saved, He got His presence now is with us and in us. So now I'm not looking for a second act of grace. I have Him. He's mine, and I belong to Him. So God equates in Christ, being in Christ with being in the Spirit. He says they're the same thing. And so now watch this. Again, to me it makes logical sense. If I have to pray through to get the Spirit of God, well, I can only do that if I'm in Christ. An unsaved person cannot pray through to get the Spirit of God. Because Jesus Christ said, the unsaved man can't receive the Spirit of God. And so I have to be in Christ. And so if I have to pray through to get the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ said in His Word, if you have Christ, you have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. And so there's no way for an unsaved man ever to pray through for anything but salvation.
Right.
And so when I got born again and received Christ, I also received the Holy Spirit. And so now we belong to Christ Jesus. Now watch this. We're going to look at tonight, lastly, look at this and we'll go home. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Look back at verse number 26 of John 14. I find tonight three things in the book of the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit does for us. First, in John chapter 14 and verse number 26, watch what the Bible says. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We find here that first of all, the Holy Spirit of God, His purpose is to teach the believer all things. He teaches us. But what a blessing. And I've seen that in my life over and over again. I've come to places in the Scripture and I said, Lord, I don't understand. Please help me. And the Spirit of God enlightens the believer. And listen, you take the honest, hold your place there in John. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Watch this. This is interesting. This is a neat thing for the believer. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 10. But God hath revealed them. Look at verse number 9, excuse me. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God hath revealed them unto us by Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, in the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, say the spirit of which a man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse number 13. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, who's that now? That's the unsaved man. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they foolishness unto him. You know, people say, I just can't understand all the these and thous. Well, that's the least of their problems. These and thous are easy to understand. That's an excuse of the unsaved man because he thinks the Bible is foolishness. Why? Because he doesn't have the Spirit of God doesn't live within him. He's trying to understand the things of God with the natural man, and they cannot be understood. And so we find here, verse number 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, that he himself is judge of no man. For who knoweth the mind of the Lord that may be instructed, but we have the mind of Christ. So we find that the Spirit of God teaches the Christian, teaching spiritual things, and so we find here that his job is to teach the believer, to enlighten us, to give understanding. So how true that is in your life as well. How many times before, as you grow in grace, you may have read a passage of Scripture that just eludes you. But He teaches you and enlightens you. In fact, the Bible says that if the Spirit of God lives within us, we have no need for man to teach us. Because He's a teacher. He's our teacher. And so now as a Christian, I'm beginning to grow in grace, grow in the Word of God. And now I'm able to, according to Scripture, I'm able to discern between what's right and wrong. Between what's good and evil. Between, I'm able to discern the will of God for my life. Because I have a helper. I'm not relying on myself. My own wisdom, my own intellect. Because in God's eyes, my wisdom is foolishness. Doesn't make, and so God says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit of God that when you receive me, you receive Him and He'll be a comforter to you and He'll teach you all things. He'll teach you my word. He'll instruct you. And so tonight we must rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Oftentimes I pray this when I read my Bible. Dear God, teach me today what you have me to know. Speak to my heart today. Use a verse here to help me today. And He does. He does. You know, I like commentaries. Because commentaries remind me that all men are the same. You know, I'll come to Scripture. You know, years ago, I spent a lot of time studying on divorce and remarriage. A lot of time studying on that subject. It's a hot topic. And I wanted to understand what's the mind of God and where I stood in this situation. So I began to read the Bible and study, look at commentaries. And all these great men and these great commentaries, all the hard verses I didn't understand, they jumped over too. It's like, wait a minute, somebody have enough backbone to touch this thing, you know? Help me out. And so I had to rely on, dear God, you teach me what you have me to understand about this subject. And He does that. He teaches you. And so He's to teach you all things. Now, to the unsaved person, it's all foolishness. What you believe is foolishness. What you decide is foolishness. How you live is foolishness. But we rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Do you rely on Him to teach you? Do you invite Him to help you and teach you as you study the Bible? Do you open your heart to Him and say, Lord, please, as I read the Scripture, as I hear the preaching, as I study the Bible, teach me. Well, that's good when you listen to preaching too. Sometimes our natural attitude is, if the preacher steps on my toes, I'm rejecting that. That's not what I believe. But wait a minute, you got to ask the Spirit of God, God, where is He coming from? Why is He saying what He's saying? And again, there are times when preachers' preference get in the way. I get that. There's no way tonight if you preach as much as a preacher does that your preferences wouldn't show up when you're preaching. That's just the way it is. Why? And why do I preach that? Because it's why is it sometimes my preferences in course of my preaching? Because I have learned that those things work for me in serving God. And so my idea is, well, if it works for me, it might work for somebody else. And so you might hear it come out. But rather than say, I don't like that, well, I don't like his ideas, or I don't like his thoughts, I don't like his theology, Spirit of God, is there something to that that I need to listen to? Teach me. And so we find here that He teaches us. Next thing I find in chapter 15 of the book of John. And I know I'm getting past time, but let me hurry here. John chapter 15, look at verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he shall also bear witness, because he hath been with me from the beginning. So here we find that Jesus Christ, not the Spirit of God, now he comes, he teaches me, so I'm able to grow in grace, I'm able to grow in the Word of God. I'm able to discern right and wrong in the will of God. But then Jesus Christ said this, the Spirit of God has a function. He has a job to do. He has a certain thing that he goes by. He never speaks of himself. And so he's kind of, if you will, I would say this, he's a quiet. He's quiet in his approach. Now he's not silent, but he's quiet. He never exalts himself. So that's why charismatics, I think they get some things sometimes mixed up sometimes. Because they make much of what And Holy Spirit says, I'm not here to make much of me. I'm here to make much of Jesus. I'm here to testify of Him. I'm here to promote Him. I'm here to glorify Him in your life. So we find here tonight that when the Spirit of God lives within me and does His job, my relationship with the Bible grows, but my relationship with Christ also grows. He's drawing me closer to Christ Jesus. And by the way, that's the intent of all preaching. Listen, I'm not here preaching for money's sake. I thank God how good you treat me and how good you take care of me. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm not here for money's sake. There's other things in this life with less hassle and less stress with more money involved. I'm not here for that reason. I'm not here for you to like me or joy to like me. But all preaching, all teaching the Bible should always be the point to Christ Jesus, to get closer to Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of God says, that's my job too. That's what I do. And so as you listen to me and let me lead you and guide you and direct you, I'm always going to point you to Jesus Christ. If you are farther from Christ today than you were yesterday, you're not following the Spirit of God. You're following a Spirit, but not the Spirit. Because Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, always makes much of Jesus. He testifies of Him. And then the Spirit, then He says, verse number 27, because He testifies of me and you've seen me and heard me, you're going to testify of me too. You know what happens with a saved believer that's full of the Holy Spirit of God? You can't keep it in. You can tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. You know, I have one of those silly popcorn poppers at home. You know, it's a little red bowl with a hot plate, and it has that little thing that goes around and around. So I like to fill that thing up with popcorn kernels. You know, my wife is, she's better at that because she knows I won't eat the whole thing, so she just puts a little bit in there. I just cover the whole plate. Well, pretty soon then, of course, it pops the lid off. Why? Because there's too much in there. Let me tell them, believers, when you fall in the Holy Spirit of God, it'll pop your lid off. And what happens? You have to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Because that's what He does in our life. He testifies of Christ. Number three, look at the last one and we'll go home then. Look at chapter 16, verse number 13. So He'll teach us of all things. He will testify of Christ Jesus. So what happens when I listen to that, my relationship with Christ grows, my faith increases. Chapter 16, verse 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and He shall show it unto you. So here we find that He shall train you. Not only will He teach you and testify of Christ Jesus, but He'll train you in truth. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. Truth is victory. And victory is found in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit of God is going to train us or guide us into all truth. Why? So we can be victorious in our Christian life. Because there's truth that makes us free. It's truth that gives us victory. It's truth that helps overcome the world. And so here's my victory, being guided by the Holy Spirit of God. So I must submit to Him now. He's going to guide me. By the way, you can trust Him. Even when it doesn't make sense. Because if I get this right, He's not speaking of Himself, but He goes to the Father. He goes to Jesus Christ and says, okay, tell me what you want me to tell them. And what He hears, He comes back to us and He teaches, He guides us in that truth. He's guiding us in the will of God. He's guiding us into Christ Jesus. The truth magnifies who Jesus Christ is. So I'm being taught of the Holy Spirit of God and guided by the Spirit of God in the will of the Holy Spirit into the will of God. So we find that again, He guides us. He guides us. And so you can trust Him. You can trust Him. And so, by the way, when He guides us, He never guides us contrary to the Word of God. That's why it's so important for Christians to be yielded to the Spirit of God. But also in their word. Also in their word. Listen, if you're not doing both, you could get messed up. Here's what people often want to do. Well, preacher, I just prayed about it and I felt. I felt something. I had pizza the other day too. It felt pretty good. It felt like I wanted more. You know? And so we can base our Christian life on feelings, but that gets you the wrong location. And so what I have to do is I can only just look for a feeling. Now, I believe this. Spirit of God, when He guides you, will give you peace. I believe that. When I came here 12 years ago, I had complete peace that this is where God wanted me. No question about it, no doubts about it. I had complete peace. But I had to go to the Word of God and say, okay, God, show me from Your Word what You'd have me to do. The Spirit of God never leads you contrary to His Word. That means, young folks, the Spirit of God never leads you to rebel against your parents. Well, if I go down that direction, I'm going to have to rebel against what my parents said. The Spirit of God is not guiding you that direction then.
That's right.
He's not guiding you that direction. There's some anything that takes a marriage apart is not being guided by the Spirit of God. Because you won't lead you contrary to the Spirit. Things that take you from the will of God and away from God and away from a godly church and away from godly preaching is not the will of God for your life. It's the will of somebody, not the will of God. And so the Spirit of God guides you, but He guides you within the boundaries of God's Word because He doesn't speak of Himself, but He speaks of what He hears. And then He uses the Word of God. So here we find His purpose tonight. He teaches, He testifies, and He trains us. He guides us along the way. Tonight, is He real in your life? Are you listening? Are you yielded? Are you following Him? Are you walking with Him? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means when you read the Scripture, you know what He's teaching you and testifying to you about and guiding you, and you say, you know what, Holy Spirit of God, you know what, God, I'm not doing that. Now you're going to quench the Spirit of God in your life. It's like going over to the radio and you turn it down. Back when I grew up, we had what we called CBs. Right? Remember those? When I was 16, if you were cool, you had a CB in your car with a big whip antenna on the back. Now, there's a small one. You wanted a whip. And if you had a truck, you wanted both mirrors on the outside with antennas on it, you know? And so you'd turn, of course, I think it was Channel 19 was a big truck driving channel. You'd get on the breaker 19, you know, looking for somebody to talk to. And sometimes you'd pick up Skip or Squelch, the noise on the radio. So on that CB, they had a little knob called the Squelch button. You'd turn it up just enough to cut the squelch out, cut the noise out, but keep listening to the person that was closest to the person you're talking to. Take all that noise, you'd turn up the squelch and cut that noise out. If we're not careful as Christians, what we do is what we squelch the Holy Spirit of God. We quench it. We squelch Him out. We don't want His noise. We don't want His noise in our ears, in our hearts. So we squelch Him with the noise of this world. You know why folks get hooked on drugs and chase beer that are Christians? The squelch of the Holy Spirit of God. You know why folks get caught up in a fornication and won't want to quit and they just get busy in their life and get all kind of noise in their life? It scorches the Word of God. It scorches the Holy Spirit of God. Just that when I was running from God, I did everything I could to squelch His voice. I mean, I stayed busy. I worked 90 hours a week. I chased stupid stuff. I did dumb things on the weekends because I was trying to squelch His voice. I didn't want to hear His voice because I knew He would guide me back to the Word. I knew He would testify to me of Christ in my heart. I don't want to deal with that. So then I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Are you listening? Are you surrendered? Are you being guided? And by the way, we'll look at this in a few weeks probably. But if the answer tonight is, so preacher, I just don't know if I am or not. Well, let me ask you something. Look at your fruit. Look at your fruit. Is your life tonight filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance? Or do you find your life full of anger and bitterness and grudging and fornication and adultery and all kinds of weird sins? That gives you a good indication whether you're walking in the flesh in your own spirit or whether you're walking in the Spirit of God. So tonight I want to ask, so tonight we find his presence, we find His purpose. Would you tonight, let us as a church rely upon Him and pay attention to Him and trust Him when He leads us and teaches us. Amen. Father, tonight we come to You in closing. Thank You, Father, for a very simple message tonight from Your Word. A doctrine, truth that we much need to be aware of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Lord, be sensitive, Lord, to His leading and His guiding and His teaching. Lord, may tonight we may be yielded and filled with the full Spirit of God. May we walk in the Spirit, Father, and please You, Father. This we ask now tonight. Thank You for that great helper. Lord, I don't want to ever miss that in our preaching, that we have a helper, a comforter of the Holy Spirit of God that lives with us and in us. We praise You, Father, for that promise tonight. We ask in Your name now. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Pin up against the plate of taste and song tonight. Perhaps tonight you've not been saved. You need to come and get saved. Would you come this evening? Christ wants to save tonight from your sins and give you a helper. Do you need to come tonight? You come. Perhaps tonight the Spirit of God pricked your heart tonight and said, you know what? You've not been walking with Me. You've not been yielded to Me. Tonight you need to come and say, Lord, help me to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Not quench the Spirit of my life, but listen to His leading, His guiding. As He guides me in all truth. to live for you, Lord.